All right, John. You got to give it up for this baseball team.
Yep, they held serve.
Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We've got Gov and Greg behind the glass. Any update on Collins' investment in this baseball team?
We did discuss it last night, and he said that he's been paying more attention on his phone. We don't get it. He can't watch it at home, so he's not.
Well, you wouldn't have mattered last night. You couldn't have got it anyway.
But he said he is paying more attention to what's happening.
You know, I just heard from that is the Tigers are officially dinner table conversation.
Yeah.
They have become like what people are talking about, and they should be talking about this baseball team. Yeah, Doug earlier this week saying, I don't want to scold you, but if you're not paying attention, what the hell's wrong with you? John, last night, this familiar script of miraculous plays, Parker Meadows in center field in third, 5+ shutout innings from this bullpen, including getting out of 2 bases loaded jams, a magical balk in extra innings to advance the runner. Something's going on here.
Well, I think we've entered that whether or not you're watching or listening or there's a lot of people that are, I'm checking my apps on a regular basis. If I'm doing something, I was busy last night, I am checking my apps to see exactly what's going on. And all of a sudden you see in the first inning, they're up 1-0. Oh, here we go. And then there's nothing. And then it's tied 1-1. Oh no, what's going on? And you know, then it goes to extra frames. And how about our boy Parker Meadows? I understand the balk, and I didn't get a chance to see it. I was listening. But, hey, you take advantage of gifts that are given you. And this is a team over the past 6 weeks, and maybe we could say 8 weeks now, that has taken advantage of every gift that has been given them. And when you get a chance to move that ghost runner to third and a broken bat knocks him in, we'll take it.
The fifth inning. Casey Mize is still in the game. Hmm. Playing with fire for A.J. Hinch.
But
again, he waits till the bases are loaded. Like, oh, maybe you've waited a little too long. One pitch, one out, inning over, crisis averted. Like, everything they're doing is working.
Edge of your seat right now. And as you're, if you're looking at the game cast, right, you see bases loaded, one out, and you don't know. Like you don't get the full effect of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it makes it a little bit more exciting because you're waiting for the damn app to update. And then all of a sudden they're out of the inning. You're like, oh, how did that happen?
Well, that was me early in the game. You mentioned the Bally outage.
Yeah.
A cord cutter. I stream. I've got it on my phone. Got the error screen. I got it on my Surface here. Error screen. I boot up the Xbox because there's a Bally app in there. Well, that, nope, still an error message.
See, I didn't miss the plays, and we were texting.
Yeah, the third inning of the Meadows catch, I didn't see that live.
Yeah, I saw it live, and man, Meadows, or Mize is fortunate that ball was hit where it was because that guy crushed it. And he was playing with fire last night, leaving it. I could not believe AJ let him start the fifth. I couldn't.
Because the fourth, it was the bottom of the order.
Yes, I get him. If he gives up one base runner, get him out of there, two or whatever. But the fact that he let Bobby Witt and Perez hit again, I couldn't believe it. And they were so fortunate last night with him. I like, it was almost like magic. Like, I do think something's going on here outside the realm of just it doesn't make sense. Is this because this team is getting taking advantage of every single break? They don't score a run from the first inning to the 10th. The Royals had how many left on base last?
10 total, counting
the, it's just like Holton comes in and just is pitching like he's the greatest left-handed reliever of all time. This is insane, guys.
Well, and here's the insane thing. When you think about a 1-0 win against Baltimore, and you think about holding the Kansas City Royals, we're talking about two teams that are really good at getting guys on base and scoring runs. Like, their offense is good, and you hold them to one run in 9 innings. Baltimore, with the power that they have, you hold them to one run. Yeah, it defies all logic, and you're sitting here 1.5 back. You're going to win the series against Kansas City, and that's all we said. Win the series.
The tension that baseball naturally creates when you get into the playoffs or even playoff adjacent. It's something I hadn't really remembered it being this way for so long. John, the tension. The Twins win. You know you got to win to keep serve. and it's a one-run game, and it's extra innings, and it wasn't pretty at times. It wasn't. And you're going, every pitch matters. Edge of your seat. The tension of playoff baseball or playoff-adjacent baseball is back.
And this is now a win. You won the series against Baltimore. You're winning the series against Kansas City. A chance to sweep the series today because...
Scooble.
Scooble's on the mound. And now you're looking at it going, okay, 8-2 in the last 10, 9-11 if you want to include another win.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing everything they possibly can in the last 6 weeks of the season to give us exciting September baseball and possibly extend the season.
I'll take it. I'm trying to get more out of you. This is a playoff team, John, and I need you on board. They'll get there, and then you'll get there, and we'll have this celebration together. 248-539-9797. Think about how tenuous it is. Tigers don't win that game. And again, it's extra innings. You never know what happens with the extra runner. They lose that game. It's 2.5, but really 3 with the tiebreaker, mm-hmm. and there's only 10 to go. And you'd feel like you're running out of time. You win, it's 1.5, Scooble's on the bump. It's a completely different disposition as you come in today.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota, it's funny, Minnesota has to play one more game than the Tigers the rest of the way, and normally that would be seen as a bad thing. But given Minnesota's struggles over the last month and a half, them playing one more game feels like one more chance for them to lose. I actually weirdly, like spin zone, feel like it's a good thing that they have to play an extra game than the Tigers because I think they're more likely to lose that game than win that game. It does feel like this is set up for Detroit.
All right, so... They got to win tonight. We got to win a Scooble start, right?
Yeah.
It's this can't start happening where this is the one
they win all the games except the Scooble starts.
Yeah, although that would be the nonsense of what this is all this is to begin with. But if you know, let's just say right now a Twins Guardian split next 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just be fair here.
Sure.
So the Tigers would be one out on Friday. They'd be two behind the Royals. Think about that.
Wow.
If they win today, they're two behind the Royals. So now you're chasing them legitimately every bit as much as you're chasing the Twins. The Mariners lost last night.
And the Mariners, yeah, I heard it in the update. Mariners lost.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yeah. And so here's where you get caught up in that game. Thursday night. Tigers night off. And it's the fourth of the series between Minnesota and Cleveland. So from then on out, It's 1-on-1
mm-hmm.
the rest of the way. So you've got the game against Kansas City tonight with Scooble starting, and the Twins are still in Cleveland. Tomorrow night, Tigers get a break.
Day game in Cleveland tomorrow.
Yeah, and so you get a chance. Oh, short show for Duggan and Gator.
No. That's for Minnesota.
Minnesota-Cleveland last game is a day game.
Oh, I thought you
tomorrow.
Okay, I was talking about Friday.
Day.
Yeah, okay.
For the Cleveland equivalent of Duggan Gator, yeah,
right,
it's a short show.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you, yeah. Brain fart.
So they're going to be doing updates at the end of their show, and then Valeni and Rico will be doing scoreboard watching.
But that's the beautiful thing. I mentioned the app, or if you're watching, like this is, you are attached to something that is going to give you an update on what the Tigers are doing as well as the Twins. Like this is what makes it exciting.
Time to get the Guardian caps on, right?
Hey, it's nice to have a pretty clear rooting interest right now.
Yeah.
You're rooting against Twins. You're rooting for the Tigers. It's an oversimplification, but yeah, we get it. That's all it really comes down to with 10 games to go.
Yeah, who doesn't love hate watching the Twins? I mean, it's just hard that it's the Twins and the Gribe right now because you're like, well, it's kind of a necessary evil. You need one to win, but the Cleveland losing does nothing for us.
Right, but I agree with people who go, this is kind of your payback for 2009 when the Twins came back and caught the Tigers. I mean, this is your chance to return the favor down the stretch.
Yeah, this is the 163. You got to.
But if we win today, you got the other eye on the Royals on the weekend.
You just need to pass one of them.
Would be sweet to pass both. But, yes, I agree because right now Kansas City is 1.5 above the cut line, and we've talked about the only common opponent that the Tigers have of – you know, teams that they're competing with for the wild card spot is Kansas City. And right now, they've won the series. They can sweep the series today. take care of business.
You know, we've done all these check-ins, and it was, okay, can you win the series against Baltimore? Can you win the series against the Royals? Check, check. Everything's lining up for this baseball team. Tom, you had said something with Casey Mize. Do we need to see him start another game? Like, are you better off with bullpen days as we go down the stretch with this baseball team?
I think, yeah, in a perfect world, I'd love to see him not start again. Okay, so you guys you lost the game last night, so you couldn't watch when he was pitching. I thought it was really, really bad.
Oh, I caught the fifth inning. I caught the late fourth and fifth inning.
He was having problems, though, with locating the ball. Like, it was significant. And when he lost that ball over the plate to, I can't remember the hitter after Perez is up, but that the catch from Meadows.
Be Massey, right?
Yeah, I think so. Guys, I'm telling you what, that pitch did not go anywhere near, and it was probably 10 pitches at least that I watched where he was so off, and balls were just hanging over the plate. I don't know how the Royals didn't put up at least 5 runs on him.
Again, they played with fire. He loaded the bases up. He had 4 walks. He loaded the bases up in the fifth inning, and AJ, the very last second, pulled him out of the fire. Shelby Miller, of all pitchers, comes in, who, by the way, in the sixth inning, re-engaged the Royals by loading the bases in his own right in the sixth inning. Like, they were really flirting with disaster, but this team continues to have a little bloop here, a little dribbler here, make the play they need to win the game.
Well, Maeda, people got mad about Maeda on Saturday night when AJ brought him in a one-run game, and it was the same thing last night with Miller, but it worked. It worked with Miller because Miller's, after Maeda, fans do not want to see Shelby Miller anymore. But he has to use these guys some because they're doing bullpen days.
Right. And I'm thinking less so with Reese Olson back and if they're going to continue to throw Mize every fifth day. But to me, the highlight was Bo Brisky striking out the heart of the order in the seventh inning. Like, okay, bases loaded in the fifth, bases loaded in the sixth, heart of the order coming in the seventh. You can't keep giving them chances. And Brisky gave them no chance. Well, 3 straight strikeouts in the seventh inning, and then Tyler Holton has been one of the best relievers in all of baseball this season in the eighth inning and the ninth inning because he's kind of that super reliever, and you're like, wow, how are they doing this? And then you stop yourself and you say, why do I care how they're doing this? Just do it.
Well, what's been developing lately is they're getting a seventh, eighth, and ninth basic shutdown.
Yeah.
Where it's Brisky, Holton, and
Foley.
And Foley, you know, he has his moments, but you got to take what you got. He's a solid closer. I mean, that's what you want in the playoffs is to get to the fifth or sixth and then go to these guys. But you need your bridge guy, and who is that?
They're figuring it out. I don't know who the bridge guy is on a daily basis. And AJ's pressing all the right buttons right now. There was an injury last night in a baseball game to a Tigers player. I don't know what it means for the rest of this season, but we'll give you an update coming up next. It's a Wednesday, which means we have the power surge at 6:35, and I think this is as hard a power surge as John's going to have this season, because do you overreact? You got some teams that are 2-0 that I don't think we thought would be very good. John's power surge comes up at 6:35. We'll talk big threats for the Lions in the NFC. You look around, and I'm not really sure who that is either. It's 97.1.
Well, the awards just keep rolling in for Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration. He just won the Macomb Daily Reader's Choice Award for the 2024 Best of the Best Plastic Surgeon. So congrats to him. And guys, how incredible is it that Dr. B is right here in Metro Detroit, making it easy to restore your hair by the very best. If you've been thinking about going to see him, do it now. He'll have you looking younger and feeling more confident with a thicker head of hair. And the sooner you go to see him, the more options you're going to have. So Dr. B has the most advanced medical therapies and natural pathways to stop your hair loss and improve thickness. And these therapies keep getting better and better results for his patients. With treatment plans that fit almost every budget, Dr. B is going to create a custom plan that's just for you, and he guarantees all of his treatments. So call today, make sure you mention 97.1, and you're going to receive a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment at your consultation. That's $1,000 value. For more information and to schedule your consult, go to MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Parker Meadows saves at least a run there for the Tigers in a game where runs were a premium. A 3-1 extra inning victory for the Tigers, who stay 1.5 games out of that playoff spot. Every single out matters. The tension of a playoff chase is back. We have a lot to do today. Power surge at 6:35. We'll have Jason Benetti on the show today.
Yeah.
Sharone Moore on the show today. And yes, the Lions continue to be a focal point. 650. We'll talk about the biggest threat in the NFC. I don't know who it is at this point. I think it's a good conversation to have. John, the ticket text on the Tigers and the update on the injured Tiger from last night. People may have missed this. Colt Keith left the game. Shoulder injury, his right shoulder, the same one that he injured in 2022 when he was in the minors, said it didn't feel the same as then, but he wants to see how it goes the next couple days. Didn't feel like he could make the throws, didn't want to cost his team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, you know, red flag goes up. He's a guy that's been productive for him in the field and at the plate. So, you know, questions of what does that mean? Are they able to fill the void?
And you love Andy Ibañez against lefties. You don't love Andy Ibañez right. against righties. So then it creates this situation. Is it more Zach McKinstry? You're already talking about how every single at-bat matters.
Yeah. Can the magic of AJ take over?
It's has so far.
Yeah.
Texters say, you know what's happening? I figured it out. The young players are developing confidence, and that's a very powerful thing for young players.
Agree.
The magic is real, boys. You guys have named some good examples, but I couldn't believe the base running errors Casey had early. Dickerson was beside himself. Great win for the Tigers. Last night was the first Tigers game I've watched all season. I'm officially locked in. Can we officially declare it car flag season yet? Trevor in Jackson.
You going to stop and get one on the way home?
I have not seen any on the road yet. I don't know what we're doing collectively as a city here.
Is that just a hockey thing?
I thought it was just a hockey thing. We could make it a baseball thing. You can buy Tiger car flags.
Oh, sure you can. Yes, you can buy any team's car flag.
But to me, it was like growing up as a Wings fan, it was like, oh, the weather's getting warm, it's playoff hockey time, and everybody's got those flags whipping in the wind.
You know, one of the things that's happening to your, if they don't finish this thing, is somebody like Parker Meadows, if you're not paying attention to the Tigers and seeing what he's doing defensively for this team, he looks like a Gold Glove center fielder.
Yeah.
In the small sample size, he might be the best center fielder I've ever seen in a Tiger uniform. His range is ridiculous. Now, the Tigers have never had a, like, you'd have to go way back, maybe. But in my life, at least, like,
I was gonna say, my Rolodex goes back. Austin Jackson, Curtis Granderson were the first two that came to
he's
mind.
He's better. He's better.
Like, Granderson was really good.
Oh, man. Jim, this guy, with his range
got
and speed,
great range.
It's the speed.
Well, and it's his ability to identify and recognize, and I mean that he's got great physical speed, but it's like he makes that decision off the crack of the bat.
Yeah, I mean it was not the like one of the most spectacular catches of all time last night, but it was a game saving catch. It was multiple runs that he saved with that. But I just think like win or lose playoffs, and with him the batting still needs to go up a notch, more consistency, and hopefully he'll get there. But to me, he's an everyday player. Like, I am convinced he is part of the Tiger future because he's so good defensively. I'm willing to put up with him at the bottom of the lineup and hit 220 because he provides so much on the defensive side.
We have a request on the ticket text that at some point today we play the old school, cheesy, go get 'em Tigers.
All right, so I was out driving the kids around to practice.
Did Wojo
last
and
night.
Rieger play that?
Yeah, of course they did. You know, and it was no. And then they brought up playing Bless You Boys.
Series bound and picking up
steam. Let's go with something new around here.
Go get them. I love these cheesy songs. I do.
Now, if you want to remaster it, we'll get Eminem to remaster that and then remaster Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah, that's what we need. Remaster Another One Bites the Dust. I mean, somebody come up with something new for the Tigers. Come up with something new.
Should Bally's bring back the graphic where the kitty cries when they lose a game?
Well, first they should bring back the game
remember
itself.
That, John?
But anyway, okay, we'll get to the power surge first. Heather, what's going on in the news?
Well, you might have heard this. There will be no tailgating at Eastern Market for the next Lions home game. So Eastern Market executives say that out of respect for the victims who died on Sunday and their families, they've decided to cancel tailgating for Monday Night Football on September 30th. Instead, they say they're going to use that time to work with Detroit police on putting necessary safeguards in place. Executives say that they are working towards creating a weapons-free zone going forward. But the goal is to not completely shut down tailgating at Eastern Market. The goal is to resume tailgating in the tradition that we normally have it for the remainder of the season, but it's only going to come after they add these additions and significant security protocols.
I wish they could still have the tailgate for Monday night. I really do. I understand if people don't feel safe, but you beef up security.
But it's not necessarily for, like, I kind of understand what they're saying, for just out of respect for two people that lost their lives at that location. I get it.
Yeah,
I certainly don't want to disrespect the people who lost their lives. I mean, it's incredibly tragic.
If it was this week, I get it. I mean, maybe there's a memorial service, or, you know, to honor them this week.
Something more somber.
Since the Lions are away.
I know they had a vigil. They had a vigil in one of the sheds. I don't know the right thing to do, but I can understand this. And to me, I can respect this decision and say, okay, I understand why you're doing it.
It comes from a good place.
It does. It definitely does. Now, the second victim from that shooting has now been identified as Jalen Welsh, a 25-year-old Detroit man. Now, his father said that they're working on a funeral and working on all the arrangements, and they're not ready to speak about his death publicly yet. Other details really haven't come out. Police have not provided more details on what exactly prompted the shooting, and no charges have yet been announced for the suspect in custody. A 15-year-old was arrested on Monday after bringing a gun into a Southfield high school. So on the morning of September 16th, a school resource officer received a tip that somebody at Southfield A&T High School had a handgun with them. So police were called. The student was located. A loaded gun was recovered from the student's waistband. And in the aftermath, it turns out that the teen stole the gun from a friend's house in Detroit and then intended to use it to protect himself. So he said his intention was never to go to school and shoot other people. He was just going to use it if he needed it as protection. Either way, the student was charged with carrying a concealed weapon, resisting and obstructing, and possession of a weapon in a weapons-free school zone. So he remains held at an Oakland County Children's Village. Sean Diddy Combs, man, he has been charged with racketeering, sex trafficking, and prostitution. And he is being held without bail. A judge was not swayed by his offer. You might have heard this. He said, I'll pay you $50 million bond to get out of here. And the judge was like, I don't think so. It's really nasty, the allegations. They're disgusting. The indictment also accuses him of forced labor, narcotics offensive, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and obstruction of justice. He faces life in prison if he is convicted.
Deeply disturbing.
Yeah.
When you read just the snippets that victims would need IV fluids to recover from days long sex parties.
It's deplorable. It's disgusting when you go and read.
You don't need to read it, but it is disturbing.
Yep. If you hadn't had the chance to go see the restored Michigan Central Station yet, you can go do that next month. So starting on October 8th, Michigan Central is going to be offering guided tours, which would be super cool. Tickets will cost $20 a person. They're also going to be offering like group packages as well. Hundreds of thousands of people went to the self-guided tours over the summer. And there's still I never got to go. No. The plan was to go. Life just got in the way, right? We got too busy. So I would still love to go and do a guided tour. I think would be even better, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm with you.
They also announced the first retail tenant on Tuesday. So they say later this year, Yellow Light Coffee and Donuts will open in the station's historic retail arcade. And they say that this coffee shop will be the first food and beverage tenant that the station has had since 1988. Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the power surge. Good luck, John. It's 97.1. And we talk about big games. We talk about the place to watch the big games. Dive into the best pool in history. It's Stadium Swim, Circa Resort, and Casino. If you haven't been, here's your chance to go. Catch all the biggest games in a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of the six pools, three different levels, perfect view of a massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. You've heard about it. Go experience it yourself. It's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football, with the swim-up bars, the Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. The perfect game day spot might be the cozy day beds, private cabanas. Either way, grab a lounge at the center of the action and reserve your place today. 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino. That's downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today. CircaLasVegas.com. Good luck.
This is a tough task. And I think week 3 and week 4 of the NFL season are the hardest ones to judge, because do you trust what happened in week two? Who were the NFC contenders? And I'll just start there.
They all lost.
Going into the season, San Francisco, Detroit, Dallas, Philly, they're all 1-1. How much do you trust Minnesota? How much do you trust Pittsburgh, Buffalo? Like it's
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
New Orleans, who's scoring at a record pace.
Who would have thought?
You also have to look at some of their opponents. So I'm going to do my best to give you my opinion, and I would challenge everyone, if you disagree, feel free to voice your disdain for my opinion. Number one, which I don't think anybody can really argue, that is the only easy one. That is the Kansas City Chiefs. Even though in the standings, right now they are second in their division. They're tied with the Chargers. They haven't looked great. Looked like they were sleepwalking through the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. But they are the reigning champs. They're doing what they have to do to win games, finding ways. And even if you feel like the officials are helping them out, they make their own luck. The Chiefs are the number one team in the NFL. Number two, the Houston Texans. And you could say, well, look at the opponents, because a lot of this is looking at the opponents, the Colts and the Bears. The Colts are worse than I thought they would be. The Bears are as bad as anybody thought they would be, except for a few individuals who tried to pump their tires before. Caleb Williams, does he have a completion over 15 yards? And the answer is no.
John, remember when everybody said this was like the best place a number one pick could land? Where are those people now?
Yeah. And he does have all the weapons, which any rookie quarterback has a bit of a pass. So I'm not going to jump on him too much. But the Houston Texans, and it's not just because of C.J. Stroud and the offense. It's because their defense has been dominant. I don't know what Chicago was thinking over the course of their game, continuing to run the ball on first down. Houston was killing them. And then they're setting Caleb Williams up for second and 10, second and 11, second and 15, the entire game. So Houston for me is number two, and it's basically about their defense. Number three for me. Now here's a bit of a shock, because I did not have them in my first 2 weeks, but now they all of a sudden debut at number three. The Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has proven that he can be a quarterback that can win with lesser talent. No Stephon Diggs. And again, this is about defense. And you look and you say, okay, well, they're opponents. The Cardinals week one. We're still trying to figure out what the Cardinals are, and we'll find out on Sunday. But the Dolphins, they knock out, you know, Tua Tagovailoa. But that game was out of hand even before that happened. They absolutely dominated it defensively. Two very good mobile quarterbacks. They were able to contain them. But it's about the play of their offensive line. Josh Allen gets a little dinged up in week one because he's a playmaker. He was untouched against that Dolphins defense. And it's not a bad defense. Now, they're down a couple of players, but that offensive line has been playing at an elite level. Number four for me, and here's where we start to get a little bit sketchy. They were number two last week, San Francisco 49ers. I have them at four. They obviously lost to the Vikings. Didn't look great in doing so, but and I'm curious as to how they're going to handle being down Christian McCaffrey, now Deebo Samuel. But I still think showing what they did in week one without Christian McCaffrey, they've got the ability with Mason to continue to run the football. Offensively, I think they're going to be okay. Defensively, they're going to have to hold a minute. I think the big difference in that game was the special teams touchdown that they surrendered. I know you're shaking your head.
This is the first objection I will have, but I'll let you finish.
All right. Number five for me. They were number three last week. It is the Detroit Lions. I love you shaking your head. I can't wait to get your opinion on this. I think that they played good enough to win, except they didn't win. You got to score in the red zone. They were an offense that marched up and down the field. But that's the one glaring deficiency for this team. 1-for-7 in the red zone. I do believe it will be fixed. I do believe it was an error by Ben Johnson. There were a number of different, you know, corrections that they can make. We heard from Dan yesterday about why they failed to finish the deal in the red zone, but they're not my number five team. And this is where you start, again, you're talking about 1-1 teams, and they're 1-1 teams, and there are going to be 2-0 teams that are not on this list. It's okay. The Chargers make their debut at number six. A win over the Raiders, a win over the Panthers, and you look and you say, I don't know. Their offense, as much as I don't want to say it, with J.K. Dobbins, Justin Herbert, you can rely on running the football, and they've been able to do that. Their defense has been good, even though they played against two, you know, insufficient offenses. The teams that I have left out, we already mentioned Philly, the Saints. Everybody's going to say, why aren't the Saints in the top six?
They went into Dallas. Why are they not there? 2-0.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't trust Dallas. I don't trust Dak Prescott. And I know they haven't lost in Dallas in what, 18 games?
That's what I was going to bring up. They're very good at home.
They are, but those are all last year's stats. They have not been proven to be good at home this year. And a win over Carolina doesn't mean much of anything right now. They've already benched Bryce, what's his name, Bryce Young?
Yeah.
I can't even remember his name, his number one pick. But Carolina is absolute dumpster fire. So I'm still not sure what to make about the Saints. Seattle, a 2-0 team. How could they possibly not be on this list? They're right there, but they've had wins over the Broncos and the Patriots. Those aren't quality wins to me. Tampa Bay, obviously this is the one where you're going to say, hey, they beat the Lions. I just don't trust Baker Mayfield, even though look at their numbers. Look at their stats. To me, they've done what they had to do to win two games. In weeks three and weeks four, I will start to trust some of these results a little bit more, but I need more data in doing so. Here's the one that's a 1-1 team that worries me a little bit, and we'll talk about this more when we talk about the NFC teams and the NFC North teams. Green Bay. They had a win with Malik Willis, who has been with the Green Bay Packers up until then, 3 weeks. This is a guy that is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. This was an absolute win by Matt LaFleur. He is proving that he is one of the finest coaches in the NFL. To be able to win and put together a game plan with Malik Willis, and I know it goes to Indianapolis, how good, how bad are they? And I think they're not going to be very good this year. Anthony Richards in basically his rookie season because he played four games last year and then he was out with the shoulder injury. I'm trying to figure out what to trust, what not to trust, but that's right now where I believe these teams land.
The one thing with the Packers is, I mean, Richardson was hitting their DBs in stride. So, okay, I mean, it looked like he was actually throwing the passes to them.
Yeah.
You know, look, they got a win. They stole a win. Because they shouldn't have won with Malik Willis as your QB. So credit to LaFleur and those guys.
100%.
I got to say right now, I think Tampa Bay's omission is you got to give. I guess people are just never going to give them credit.
No, that was my biggest issue too.
They've got to earn just a little bit more.
Well, they just went on the road and beat one of the five best teams in football. They should be in the power surge. Winning has to count for something.
They went into Dallas and won by 25. Yeah. They have a plus 62 point differential, the best in the league by far.
Yeah, but they played Carolina week one.
They went to Dallas and won.
But Dallas,
but if you're going to put the Chargers in, but not Tampa, not New Orleans, those teams have real wins. The Chargers don't have a real win, and I think they're going to be a playoff team. But as we sit 2 weeks in, I think putting the Chargers in over the Bucs or the Saints, that's...
Hey, that's why it's my power surge.
I know, John.
And these are the teams that I think are, as we sit right now, I know a loss, it's going to hurt, but I've got to go with what my gut says, what I'm seeing on the games, and what I believe will play out throughout the course of the season.
I thought the Niners at four was high, too, especially with the injuries. Like, I'd have the Lions ahead of the Niners right now.
You know what else is emerging here is the AFC is even better than the NFC than we thought.
Oh, there's no question.
You can make an argument almost to go with all AFC teams.
Oh, what do I do with Pittsburgh?
Besides
Pittsburgh's 2-0.
The Steelers are undefeated.
By the way, Chargers Steelers this week, 2-0 teams.
That is
for a spot in the power surge. It's on the line.
I think you are also seeing not just how good these AFC teams are, you're also seeing how good some of these AFC coaches are. Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, as much as I don't want to say it, Jim Harbaugh, DeMeco Ryans in Houston. You want to talk about a team that has made a flip in where they were 2 years ago. C.J. Stroud, big part of it last year. But that defense under DeMeco Ryans' guidance, damn, they're good.
And that is the power surge. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you, understands you, and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They take the time to get to know you, as they did me, and they're going to work with you to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. Mine's different than Jim's, different than Heather's, different than Tom's. It's different than yours, and they're going to make one that fits you. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. And they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Early lead, 3-1 win late in extras, Dan Dickerson's call. The Lions are a Super Bowl caliber football team. They were in John's power surge.
Yep.
You'll never believe who's getting credit for the Lions' success. We'll play the audio at 7:02. Absolutely ridiculous. But as we talk Lions football, John.
I actually saw that last night while I was eating and almost choked. That's how absurd.
There's audio, and it's from one of the most respected names in football. You'll never believe who's getting credit for what the Lions are doing. That's at 7:02. John, who is the biggest NFC threat for these Detroit Lions? Because as I look around, the Niners lost, the Cowboys lost, the Eagles lost. Who is the biggest threat for this Lions football team in the NFC?
I still think it's San Francisco. And I also think it's
even
still
the
Eagles. The Lions don't play them until later in the season. And I think they're going to make some adjustments to be able to compensate for some of their injuries. Now, we know last year they went on a 3-game losing streak without Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuels, and Trent Williams. They still have Trent Williams. They still are able to run the ball. But they're playing the Rams this week. Now, it's in L.A.,
but they're all beat up too.
They're all beat up, and I think they'll get right against the Rams, and they play the Patriots. So some of this is me trusting what I've seen from the teams and what I believe they are versus some of their record, because it's really hard with only two games to actually peg a team as like Tampa. Do I believe they're going to win their division? Yes. Do I believe they're a contender for the Super Bowl? No. And so that's where I get caught up they beat the Lions, yet I have them behind the Lions in the power surge. And, I think New Orleans was the hardest one to judge. And I go to the opponents of Carolina. Okay, they should blow out Carolina. Blowing out Dallas is obviously a check in the very positive column. But I don't trust Dallas. And with CeeDee Lamb not playing most of the preseason, with everything going on there, all of the issues they had with Dak's contract, I don't know that Dak's contract is playing well in the locker room. And what does that mean for Micah Parsons? Like, they're going to pay him.
Yep.
But I think there's some disgruntled players in that locker room.
They're combustible. I think there's a huge level of combustibility with Dallas.
Could explode.
I said before the season I thought it was the Eagles. I think it still might be them by default. I think the San Francisco injuries are noteworthy. I think the record last year without Debo, without Trent, now you throw in CMC's hurt. I know Trent Williams is healthy. Brock Purdy without some of those easy yards after the catch from Debo and Christian McCaffrey, yeah. I think they'll still run the ball. It's the Shanahan offense. But does Purdy get exposed at all in the next month without Debo, without Christian McCaffrey? And then I look to the Eagles and say, well, they do have the better offensive line. If Sirianni can get his head out of his, you know what, I feel like they're the better team.
Well, and the Eagles honestly should have won that game.
Yes.
And it, to me, it was very Lions-esque in the NFC Championship game where you have a 4th-and-2 drop by Josh Reynolds. If they just simply complete the ball to a very reliable pass catcher out of the backfield, Saquon Barkley, the ball was in his hands and he dropped it. I trust him to catch that 9 times out of 10, if not more, and he dropped it.
You know what got Sirianni was the inconsistency. Early in the game, it's a 4th-and-4, and they decide, we're going for it, because that's what we do. This is who we are. We're going for it. 4th-and-3 to win the game, we're kicking a field goal, leaving the door open for Kirk. I actually think you just got to be consistent with both. If they kick the field goal early and kick the field goal late, they win. If they go for it both times, they may win because they give themselves a chance there at the end.
Here's my doubt about Philly. Jalen Hurts turnovers.
It's an issue.
3 of them in the very first game, and it became an issue last year. When they started to fall apart, turnovers for Jalen Hurts was an issue.
It's the same thing with Goff with the Lions, though. You know, they had eerily similar losses. They both should have won, the Eagles and Lions. So I think in the NFC right now, the teams that have the least to worry about are the Lions and the Eagles. But this is what ticks me off more about this loss a few days later. The Lions had such an opportunity to seize control of the NFC early. After 2 weeks and the way these teams look. And they blew that game.
Yeah.
And it infuriates me because I feel like this is, if they don't get the number one seed, we will look back on this week.
Right. If Tampa is better than I think they are, and they just find ways to win games, right now they're 2 behind because they lose the tiebreaker to Tampa Bay in terms of seeding for the playoffs. And that's going to hurt. What really annoys me is the lessons that should have been learned over the past 2 seasons. You lose to Minnesota in 22. And we've heard from Dan Campbell how that one haunts him. And you lose last year to the Seattle Seahawks in week 2, coming off a big win against Kansas City. Now you have an emotional win against the Rams. What are you leaning on? You have to lean on your experience, and they just simply didn't do that. And they dropped the game early on that they know will be an issue later on.
They didn't seize the day.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a big carpe diem person. Seize the moment. And they haven't seized it. You get it the first couple years. Campbell's growing as a coach, you know, in the Minnesota game. Makes some blunders. They didn't finish, but they're young. Last year, Seattle, I was there. It was frustrating. But, you know, they got sloppy in the 3rd quarter. And that has been one of this team's bugaboos that people sometimes talk about. You know, I just... It makes me mad that they didn't. It was sitting right there. And then from the coaching mistake to the Goff turnovers.
Okay, listening to you now and off air, it seems like you are more upset that the Lions lost because of what happened to Dallas, Philly, and San Francisco, because it was a missed opportunity. I look at it the opposite way. I'm not happy the Lions lost. I'm not happy that the same mistakes early in the season are rearing their ugly head. But I feel better that they didn't lose ground to San Francisco, didn't lose ground to Dallas or Philly. The Lions should have won. They didn't win, and they still sit level with those teams.
Like, yeah, the positive out of it. And I do agree with you on that. But I look at if this team's going to do what, especially me and John, and you set the Super Bowl bar
same,
too.
Same.
We just had different regular season prediction. It was sitting right there, and they blew it.
It's still right there. Would be my point. Those teams
made it harder on themselves.
Those teams they made it equal, the same as it was before Sunday. It's the same as it was before Sunday.
And the
I'd be kicking myself if San Fran won. I go, damn it, you should have been even with them. If Philly did what they're supposed to do and finished that game, I'd go, now I'm more upset at Sunday because the Lions are behind. They're equal with those teams right now, and I happen to believe the Lions are better than those football teams. So I'll take even knowing I got my team going the rest of the way better than those teams.
I still think it's coming down to what me and you both thought, though, Philly and the Lions in the NFC. I think that,
and they don't play head to head.
The Niners are going to. It's going to be NFC West is going to be crazy this year, I think.
Seattle's 2-0, Arizona.
The thing is, yeah. I think 10-7 is going to win that division. The Niners are going to take a hurt here with losing both McCaffrey and Debo, and I don't think their defense is as good as it used to be to rely on. They're fortunate they get the Rams this week. I mean, the Rams is just... Everything has gone south. Nobody will play the Rams team that the Lions played until maybe late in a year.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, we've got a lot still to do today. 7:35, Sherrone Moore joins the show. What went into the decision to bench Davis Warren and go with Alex Orji? The matchup with USC on Saturday. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're also going to get to this weird person who's getting credit for the Lions' success. From a prominent voice in the NFL, we'll tell you who's getting credit for the Lions' success next. It's 97.1.